Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now in the book of Ecclesiastes, the seventh chapter, we are talking about the acquisition of character. And it's imperative for us to understand that character does not come magically. It is developed. It is developed in the crucible of life, as we walk by faith. And do I need to say it does not come easily? And it is developed only to the degree that we trust God and respond to life honorably, with integrity and obedience to His Word. Now, all of this is introduced to us in the first verse, "A good name is better than a precious ointment." That good name is reflective to the issue of character. We could also say wisdom. It is being a godly person, and it is developed through great difficulty. He speaks to us in the second verse, "It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting." Later he says concerning that, that mourning or sorrow is better than laughter, "For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better." That's the objective, to make the heart better. We live in a world that is given to appearance. The Bible talks about the character of its people, not the appearance of its people. The appearance of the people is altered by their character, but the issue is their character. Verse 5, last week we looked at that. It has to do with the matter of rebuke. "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." On this, I think I can use this word, evolution to character, rebuke is a very central part of that. If you don't have a brother in Christ who is loving and kind enough to meet you shoulder to shoulder and to rebuke you when you need it, you have a great loss if you don't have that. What a blessing it is to have somebody who loves you enough to correct you. I think that's one of the primary functions in marriage. Can you imagine that? Rebuking your wife? I like that, Becky. You know what happens when we rebuke our wives? They say, "What about you?" Of course, we do the same thing when they bring something to our attention. They say, "You know, you're pretty harsh with the kids today." Well, you realize what you did last week? And if we're just going to fight and argue and not accept the benefit of rebuke, we are just limiting ourselves to mediocrity. At best, if just not outright sinfulness. It extends to our relationship within the church and our brothers in Christ. I don't think rebuke has to be a harsh word. "If your brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." It is an important facilitator on the way to a life of character. Now we move to the eighth verse, and we see how the events of life build character. Verse 8, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." These three verses comprise a multitude, an abundance of wisdom. There is no way in the process of the next 15 minutes that we can work our way adequately through this text. Probably not in a couple weeks even. So by God's grace, I'm not going to try. But hopefully we can open the door a little bit so that you can begin to understand that our sovereign God leads us through the events of life to build character in us. And our response to these events of life will determine the value of these events to us. Let's pray. Our Father, as we open your word together this morning, I pray that by your Spirit you would speak to us, instruct us, give us faith and understanding. And then, Father, as we understand, may you grant us the grace to trust you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. There are many today who boast at the front of a project. And in their pride, they boast of where they're going and what they're going to do and all this kind of stuff. And we know what that particular thing is like. The scripture is saying is better the end than the beginning. There is no clearer understanding of this and illustration of it than our lives as Christian people. Whatever the level of your happiness, your contentment, your success, whatever is right now today, I guarantee you in the future things are bright. We are going to be with our Savior. Christianity has as its very essence a difficulty. We are not of this world while we are in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning of the thing. We need to remind ourselves of the wonderful, blessed place we are going. And though the road and path be at times difficult on the way, it is so very worth it. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I just find that the personalness of that so interesting. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Have you ever got something and then after you got it thought, what did I get that for? You know? I thought I was really going to enjoy this. But it's, you know, I think that's the situation with buying a boat often. You know, those kind of things. They just don't really enjoy it. That's not true about a fishing boat. It's true about a sport boat, but not true about a fishing boat. Hey, Mike? Fishing boats, we know why we got those. You aren't going to be disappointed in heaven. God knows you better than you know yourself. And he's preparing a place for you that will be eminently delightful in every aspect of it. Now, as we are going along through the path of life and we are experiencing all kinds of events and circumstances, we need to understand that the end is better than the beginning. One of our old favorite verses that we take solace in so often is Romans 8:28. But God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Because many times as you go through the incidental events of an occasion, things look black, they look horrible, they look gruesome, they look unbearable. But God says the end is better than the beginning. So be faithful in the process. It is imperative that we learn to do that. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James is reminding some of his auditors about this. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, the beginning of a thing. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. I'm not opposed to setting objectives and goals. But there's a reality that we have to understand, that we cannot predict tomorrow. And the kind of goals that we would set that are physical are not always achievable. Daniel, you may decide at this point in life that I would like to be the left guard for the Green Bay Packers. But you're going to have to gain some weight to get there. And you may, I know your dad, you may not gain that much weight. That may not be an achievable goal. On the other hand, Stephen, you can decide that whether I play guard on a basketball team or play the halfback on a football team, I'm going to be a man of character. That goal you can achieve. And those are the things we're talking about. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. And you need to achieve, to establish goals that are achievable and that are meaningful. In the process of that, Solomon says, patient in spirit is better than proud in spirit. There are those who boast of the achievements they are determined to make. One of the worst things that can happen is they make those achievements and just get prouder. Better to be patient. If we establish goals for our lives that are consistent with God's goals for our lives, such as, Stephen, getting character, it's not going to come easy. And in the process of it, you're going to have to read and memorize much of this book. You're going to have to listen to your mom and dad and obey them. You're going to have to fall in love with God. But in order for that character to truly be established, you are going to have to get into the pot and boil. Because it's real. It doesn't just happen. A good soup has to simmer on the stove. Boys and girls and men and women of character have to go faithfully through the events of life, walking with God to become people of character. Hence, patience is essential. We'll say more of that later. Now, verse 9. Be not hasty in spirit to be angry. Oh, it's so easy in the events of life to get angry. There is one thing that angers me more than anything else. Anger is not the solution. But there is one thing that anger, and you see it in me. You see me sometimes, my face gets red and I shout in the pulpit. Nothing makes me angrier than apostasy. Departure from the faith. And the only thing that makes me angry in that is people getting away with it. And all of the disruption and disunity and calamity. See, I'm going now. These guys causing the church. Be not hasty to be angry. Anger is not the solution. As you go through the events of life, anger is an enemy. That's why the scriptures say, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You can't go through life without getting angry. There's just too many crummy things going on. And as you go through the events of your life that are going to build your character, there are going to be hurdles out in front of you that you don't want to take. And one of your first responses is going to be anger. That's why you ask the question, why were the former days better than these days? My mom and dad didn't have to go over these hurdles. Why, when I signed up for the ministry, it wasn't like this. No, it wasn't, David. But you signed up in the 60s, and we've gone into a whole new century now. It's different. Take your bumps, take your bruises, and walk through trusting God. You know, one of the places we really fail in this area of anger, is in the training up of our kids. Sitting there calmly reading the book and the kids are fighting. Listen, I have a half hour to read this. This is my time. Well, you kids shut up and behave. Go back to reading. Rather than quietly putting the book down and saying, God has obviously called me to be dad. This is a hurdle in the path of our family. And sitting down and talking seriously about these with these kids about the disruption that they're causing and the whatever that's going on, the commotion in their lives, and then applying whatever discipline may be necessary. And saying, I'll read my book at another time. Evidently, the calling of God is this evening and not my new favorite book or my favorite TV show. Be not hasty. You have some events in life that are making you angry right now? You look at me and say, I know where this is going! No, you don't. You have any idea where it's going. Only God knows where it's going. It's a time to be patient and a time to trust. May I say with you in all honesty, that I've walked through those events. And I've seen what God does. Things I never thought possible. Blessed results to absolutely black situations. And I know many of you are facing different varieties of those kind of things right now in your homes. I'm not going to pick you out and I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want you to know I'm walking with you and I bear that pain with you. I understand what you're going through. And I say to you, better is the end of a thing than the beginning of a thing. Better is the patient of spirit than those who become angry. The temptation of shortcuts to wealth or solution to life's problems are many. And when our eye is on the acquisition of wealth or solution to problems, rather than an eye to faithfulness and stewardship, we make huge mistakes. We want to shape our lives. We want to achieve our objectives. And hurdles are something to be hated and destroyed and done away with. God says, no, hurdles are something to faithfully resolve by my grace. Because my objective here is your character. We've got to have the right objectives. The end of a thing that Solomon is speaking of is a matter of living our lives with integrity while trusting God for His blessing. And that requires faith. Many of the richest things that I have in life, I have found at the very depth of sorrowful experiences. Glenn Canfield likes to talk about his youngest son, Danny. And he said, if Danny fell in a cesspool, he'd come up with a gold brick in each hand. Folks, when you fall in those places, understand God's going to bring you up with a gold brick. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how he's going to do it. But that's his business. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Word of God is just resplendent with promises for those who will trust Him in the common events of life. To become angry and hasty in the events of life leads only to foolish responses and actions. Let me talk to these young ladies here. It is said often that young ladies, Sierra, want to get married in the worst way. And that's exactly what they do. Haste. I would encourage you young ladies to start praying for your husband right now. And say, Lord, I believe that you've chosen somebody for me out there. And I'm going to wait and I'm going to stay pure until you bring me that man. And I'm going to know that man because that man is going to love you with all his heart. That's what's going to identify that man for me. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. These are our days and our times. We're to honor these days as stewards of God with faithfulness and truth. We have a classic illustration of failure in this area. God called Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of nations. I'm going to give you a son. You know the story, don't you? Abraham and Sarai. And their life went on and on and on, and there was no son. And so finally, they were going to make it happen. Well, And Sarai said to Abraham, well, maybe this is the way God intends to do it. You take my handmaid, Hagar, because they did that back in those days. It's the kind of thing they did. You know? So he took Hagar, and Ishmael was born. You know, that's the root of terrorism. It's Ishmael's family that's doing all this stuff. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not hasty in spirit. Patient. Patient. An illustration of this in our own world today that is just so horrendous, and if I may share it with you. Rather than trusting God and doing things God's way, the world does things their own way. This regrettable, horrendous act of abortion in America and around the world is absolutely incredible. We're talking about millions and millions of children who have been killed. Rather than deal with the real issue, morality and piety. Character is developed on the way to the right end of things. Joshua, as he was concluding his ministry with Israel, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He didn't know what obstacles, what events might be ahead of him yet, but he said, "I've already made this choice. As for me and my house, we are going to do it God's way." Solomon said it this way, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." We have a classic illustration of this in the Old Testament scriptures, Joseph. A man who went through, even as a young man, a teenager, went through situations that none of us would ever want to face. Fearful, challenging situations. And the only information we have is in all of these events, he trusts God. Stayed upbeat. He saved his own family, was made the second highest ruler of Egypt as he trusted God through the events of life. Oh, there's so much more that could be said, but we have to quit. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." Let me encourage you to understand that the events of life are God's chosen events. Walk through them with faith, honoring the truth of God's word. When you get angry, spit it out. Deal with it and work your way through. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. I pray that we may learn well through the events of life and understand you're not near so interested with our bank account as you are with our spiritual account. You're not so interested with our physical achievements as you are with our spiritual achievements. And Lord, I pray that we be vulnerable to you, trusting you in the events of life, that we might indeed be men and women, boys and girls of wisdom and character. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's the practical thing, that he would take our hearts and mold us into the people that he would design us to be. And I want to say thank you for the way you let the Lord work in your heart. It's a privilege to walk with you. I know many of you are walking down some real dark paths these days. And, you know, better's the end of a thing than the beginning. There's a great, great end coming. God help us to keep our focus on that.